This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Ridley Pearson is one of America's best crime novelists. He's been at it for quite a few years, so many, in fact, that he has written nearly 30 adult suspense novels and over 15 children's adventure novels, and he co-wrote the show that is now running on Broadway. It started out as a book that he wrote with Dave Barry, a series of books called Peter and the Star Catchers, which is actually on tour all across America, and has been published, according to his publicist, in 22 languages in 70 countries. His newest book, in English to start, is called The Red Room. It's the third in his Risk Agent series. Ridley, welcome back to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about following an ad for alternatives to cremation.
Well,
but I'll accept it.
Let's talk a little bit about The Red Room, and this being the third in the series. I've asked you this about some of your other series that you've done in the past, but I'm always curious, when you sit down to write a new one, do you have to be aware that some people are going to pick up your book and not have read book one and book two, and so they don't know the characters and they don't know who they are and what they do? Do you have to kind of reset in every book?
Sure, you always do that. I mean, the books stand alone. You wouldn't want to create a series, I wouldn't anywhere, where you had to read them in order. In the kids' world, I do that a little bit, but even there, the books stand alone. The idea is that you'll pick up a Ridley Pearson novel and have the time disappear, and that's really my mission. I'm not here to win a Pulitzer Prize, but to entertain you and hopefully enthrall you.
The book is another in the series that is about John Knox and Grace Chu, and tease our audience a little bit about what happens to them along the way and where it takes place.
Yeah, the book takes place in Istanbul, which is the only city in the world that sits on two continents. It's separated by a waterway called the Bosphorus. So it's Asia and Europe in one city, yeah. And it has, as you know, Paul, it has thousands of years of history. So it is a melting pot, a true collision point of cultures. As its neighbors, it has Bulgaria, Greece, Georgia, Iran, Iraq, and Syria. Try that for your neighbors. And it is known to be now one of the centers in the world of the illegal exchange and sale of art, stolen art. And in The Red Room, John Knox and Grace Chu, who are both private contractors, kind of, if you will, they're sort of private intelligence officers. They work for a security company, and they are to pose as people selling brokers, really, for a black market antiquity. Because everyone's interested in this buyer, who's kind of a mysterious guy. And the closer they get to the buyer, the more they realize they don't want to be anywhere near this, that they shouldn't have accepted this job, that maybe even their bosses are lying to them. So it's part espionage novel, part adventure novel, part romance, in a very intriguing spot, Istanbul.
When you write about Istanbul is the setting for your book, how much time do you have to spend there to be able to write about it casually?
Ideally, I think you want to spend between 2 weeks and a year, which is what I've always done with my novels. One of the bizarre things about writing The Red Room is I never got to Istanbul. I had two different trips planned. The first one, right before I was going to leave, an American was kidnapped. And the second one, right before I was going to leave, there were riots breaking out in the streets. So I never got there. And at first, I thought it was really going to hurt the book. But it ended up helping the book and sort of returning me to my early roots, which is digging into tons of printed matter. So the Internet offers so much now, Paul. I was able to go on YouTube, for instance, and watch, 50 tourist YouTube videos of people and their families walking around the streets of Istanbul. And I had to do hours and hours and hours of it to find the exact spots that I wanted to set my book in. I already knew where the book was going to be set. But I would go and find Sicily Square, and I would find this Nightingale Hospital and watch it from a different family's perspective. They might be talking about something completely different, but what I was interested in would go by.
So I would ask you, how did you become such an expert on Istanbul? And you say, well, I just sat in the office in my house in Idaho.
Yeah, for hundreds of hours. That's right. And I also read a bunch of books and novels. Probably the most influential novel on Red Room was Orhan Pamuk's Museum of Innocence. He won the Nobel Prize 4 or 5 years ago. He's a brilliant writer. And this novel is set in the 1960s, but it takes you along the streets of Istanbul in a way that, as someone who's traveled a lot in the Middle East, I immediately could see how it related to places like Cairo, where I have spent weeks at a time. And it was a terrific novel and a great read and a big help with the book.
I mentioned that you and Dave Barry wrote Peter and the Starcatchers and the sequels, and that got turned into a Broadway show, which is now touring across America. And I understand that the first book in the Risk Agent series, just called The Risk Agent, has been optioned by a Hollywood star who wants to make it into a movie. Who's that?
Yeah, Vince Vaughn and his company Wild West. His production company is actually quite big, and they often make movies without Vince in them. But we have heard that Vince would like to play John Knox and take a more serious, less comedic role in the film. And at first, of course, you know, they buy an option, and this happens with a lot of your books, and then you never hear anything, and it's done. The most encouraging aspect of this, Paul, is that they re-upped the option. They renewed the option about 4 months ago, which means they're still interested. So that was quite exciting because it's been about 18 months since they bought the first one. And they don't pay a lot of money or anything, but it just means that they have the exclusive right to develop it. They've hired a really good screenwriter, and we're supposed to see something in September, but I'm just encouraged that they're still staying with it.
So that's great. Now, another project I want to ask you about is the thing you and I talked about last time you were on the show, which was the Kingdom Keepers online project. How'd that turn out?
That was remarkable. I wrote a really popular series for younger, and it turned out, Paul, older readers. About 50% of it's bought by people over 40. But it's about five kids who get inside Disney World or Disneyland after dark. I've been honored to be allowed inside their parks when they're shut down. And a lot of stuff in there scares you. And then I write these adventure novels for a younger audience. And I felt it would be sort of wrong of me after we ended up with millions of readers by about the fifth or sixth book. And I was heading into the seventh and final book. And I decided to engage my readers in helping me write that final book. So we had over 55,000 registered users on Kingdom Keepers Insider, which is still up. We still do fan fiction every week, and we're about to open it up into the second Kingdom Keepers series. But in the end, we had about 150,000 people a week contributing to how I should write the next chapter and actually sending in fiction to me, 40 kids of which ended up getting a paragraph or two of theirs in the novel. So it was a real community effort for the first third of the book, and it's just turned into a marvelous project.
That's fantastic. Now, I've only got another minute here, Ridley, but I've got to ask you, as an author, how you feel about this battle that's been going on for the last few weeks between Amazon and the Hachette group of publishers.
Yeah, well, of course, I think the best thing I can do, because it would take us 40 minutes to talk about it, there's a terrific article today in the Huffington Post book section called Goliath versus Goliath. It's really, I think, an interesting read. I, of course, take the author's side of this, which is how can you exclude my book from your bookstore, which is basically what Amazon's doing by excluding Hachette. But it's such a complicated topic because it really is, in ways, as Goliath versus Goliath proposes, it's really a battle of existing methods of publishing and technology. Now, Amazon has control of that technology, and maybe I feel at least that they should be a bridle, should be put in their mouth and they should be held back a bit. But they are exercising their technology rights, and the old world publishing is being sort of caught.
Yep. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out over the course of the next couple of months. The book is called The Red Room. Ridley Pearson, thanks so much for joining me here today. America Weekend.